Blog Talk Radio.
And will I wonder why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. Michael and I will share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael, or myself, or forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, your co-hosts, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
Happy. Well, happy Friday. Today is September 2nd. Michael?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, today is September 2nd, 2016. I'm Michelle Pache, filling in for Jeannie, and I'm here today with Dr. Michael Wright. We warmly welcome you to the show, and thank you for choosing to be with us. Our call-in number is something I haven't memorized yet, so I can't rattle it off my tongue. But let's see. Michael, you have that handy? I'll re-announce that in a second when I look it up. So we encourage you to call in with questions and your comments, allowing you to participate and strengthen your practice of Aramaic forgiveness. So now let's welcome Michael in support of developing that process. Hi there.
Hey there, young lady. Our new call-in number is 516.
Yeah, 516.
418-5786.
Good. Got it.
So if you're on the computer listening to us and you want to talk to us, or you're on one of those stations that we can't access directly, then we invite you to pick up the phone and call 516-418-5786. You'll be listening to the show. That's our new call-in number. And if you have a question, if you just push one, that'll put a little hand up in the phone queue and we'll be rocking. So delight to hear your voice. How are you today, young lady? Your daughter's all settled in school. Oh. You're getting everything ready for Jeannie's arrival for the Women Healing Women Intensive.
Yep, looking forward to it. Actually, there's a couple people who have just expressed interest today, so I'm really seeing a full house, like a completely 18 people kind of situation here coming up, last-minute people.
That will be awesome. That will be awesome. I know that from all the reports I've gotten from the Women Healing Women retreats that Jeannie's done before, we've been talking about whether we should call them advances instead of retreats. But the healing that happens is monumental. And so delighted to have Jeannie stepping out and creating that space of really looking at those women's issues, you know, in her own life, before I met Jeannie, she had some kind of extreme challenges, and that certainly prepared her to have the brain cells to enter the conversation of first century Aramaic forgiveness, and to really open the space to move through some of those issues that most people live their lives never even looking at or considering, you know, pretending aren't even there, as though pretense would make them go away. Which, of course, is the opposite of what happens if you go back to the first century Aramaic language and the understanding. You hear the man Yeshua saying, take care of the heart, for out of it are the issues in life. Which, you know, if you think about the context of the word heart in this culture, we talk about it as the place of love. So if the issues in your life come out of love, then obviously everything in your world would be about love. So they mustn't have been talking about that. What were they talking about? Well, we couldn't even translate the word heart until just the last few decades in the Western world. Literally for 2,000 years, we've lived in ignorance of what that word meant. But what we now know, now that the understanding of the unconscious has been reestablished in the Western world, And now we know that that word heart means unconscious. In other words, take care what you hide from yourself and don't want to deal with, because that's going to become the energetic factor that creates your next experience. And if you're sitting there in your life scratching your head wondering, why is this happening to me again? Why are they doing this to me again? Why am I doing this to myself again? Then what I can assure you is that you've got an unconscious mind you haven't looked into. I love what Carl Jung says about that dynamic and how insightful it is in the context of that statement from Yeshua about the issues in your life come from your heart. So Carl Jung says that those who look without, and when we analyze that correctly, technically there's no such thing as really looking without, but we look at the pictures painted on the inside of our eyeballs and we think we're looking at the world out there, but Yeshua had it much more clearly: take care of the heart, for that's what's going to paint the issues on the inside of your eyeballs. That's where you're going to get to deal with what you need to deal with. And so for those who think they're looking outside in the world, what they're really looking at is the very tip of the iceberg of their own unconscious processes. And then Jung goes on to say, so he says, those who look without dream, and those who are stuck in the dream world, believing that everybody else is the problem in our lives. And then he says, those who look within awaken. And so when I start to crack open the barrier to my own unconscious mind, which I personally believe is a totally unnatural condition for a human to have, then I start to come in touch with the issues in my heart, the unconscious issues that perhaps I and my generations have spent lifetimes hiding from ourselves. Drugs. You know, you look at all of the drugs in our culture, the sugar, the white flour, the junk food, the alcohol, the pot, the myriad of pharmaceuticals that are out there, and they're all about keep the lid on the unconscious. I don't want to look in there. Yeshua says, take care of it. Carl Jung, 2,000 years later, says, you got to look in there, folks. If you don't look in there, you won't awaken from the dream. And the dream is that those unconscious dynamics that we don't allow to come forward to conscious awareness create a picture world that is the tip of the iceberg of those unconscious dynamics. And we're looking at pictures in our minds, generated by our minds, and thinking that we're actually looking outside of ourselves. But when we really seriously, seriously look inside, we get to start to undo the issues that have probably plagued our generations for who knows how long. And then Yeshua takes the understanding to the next level, and he says, you must forgive from your heart the wrongs of your brother, which in the Greek translations, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Let's look at the long form of the Aramaic. You hold something hidden in your unconscious mind, your heart. You set up an energy field that draws someone in to play that out with you. Someone plays it out, and when they do, they resonate the hidden dynamics in yourself. Because you've dissociated from those hidden dynamics, a projection takes place. Those hidden dynamics literally turn information in your mind into pictures in awareness. Only the pictures will be about everybody else who you think is the problem in your life. One of the easiest ways to tell that it's not about everybody else is you're the one who's feeling it. You're feeling it because it's coming from the dynamic stored within yourself. And so if you don't like what you're feeling, stop following what you're feeling and start delving into the hidden parts of your mind. Otherwise, you'll be stuck in a world of appearances or a dream. Yeshua is in perfect alignment with Carl Jung. Those who look without dream. Yeshua says, don't judge by appearances. Don't look at the tip of the iceberg in your mind and think you know what's going on out there, because you're only looking at the very smallest part of your own internal dynamics. Go inside. So what does he say? Take care of the heart. You got to start to go in there. You've got to start to deal with it. What does Jung say? Look within and you awaken. You start to, through first century Aramaic forgiveness, literally undo the dynamics of 1,000 generations. And you get to have a human life. And human life, you know, we've got an experiential definition for human life. Hold a newborn child. You know exactly what a human life is. That awesome presence of love. If you're not living with every cell in your body plugged into that 24/7, 365, then you're being run by the issues in your heart. When you start to delve in and you start to remove what never belonged there, then you start to heal the images in your mind. You start to heal the cells of your body. You start to heal your creative process, and everything changes. So we're here to support everything changing, and we're delighted that you're here to be part of it. Dr. Tim, are you with us today, sir? I probably caught him with a mouthful of food. Or mute challenged.
Or I'm mute challenged because I don't hear his number. Oh, here we go.
Okay.
There we are.
Oh, there you are. Hey, young man.
I'm doing well.
On the switchboard.
Yeah, I thought I called in early enough. My phone said it was right at 12, but so apparently we have more people calling in today than yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
That's good, because yesterday people didn't know our number. And, you know.
Well, thank you for taking care of things yesterday.
Well, I just want to say, the way I got to talk on the radio show today is I called area code 516-418-5786. And apparently a lot of people didn't know that number yesterday. So we're doing well. We had a support group last night. We had somebody brand new to the Michael Rice work, and we watched the first half of Empowered to Heal again, because it seemed to be the right thing to do. And then we had a brand new person do a worksheet. And so one more person on the planet has been introduced to the ancient Aramaic concept of forgiveness and actually had an upset level that was a 9 out of 10. And the emotion she was experiencing was fear. And at the end of it, she was not feeling fear. She had an upset level of about 6, and she couldn't quite put a word on it, so she agreed to just call it confusion for now. And we talked about how one of the symptoms of healing at the mental level is confusion, so that's an okay thing, to be confused. And I think it is confusing for people if they walk into a room and their fear level is a 9 out of 10, and they do a process on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and just read some words and write some answers down, and then their fear is down to a 1 or a 0. That's confusing. How did that happen?
It's pretty awesome, isn't it?
Yeah, and nothing on the outside changed. None of the factors in this person's life that she thought were causing the fear at 9 out of 10, not a single thing changed in the 30 minutes that we were stepping her through the worksheet process. So I'd say confusion is a healthy response to that. So we had quite a bit of discussion about how the conscious logical mind wants to do it its way and creates sustained incoherence, as David Bohm calls it. And that's what I have to offer, that you know, so much of what I've seen in the past few weeks is people who are very bright, intellectually bright, they're functioning very well in the world, and mentally and emotionally and in their relationships, it's a disaster. And they can't figure it out, and they're looking for another technique, and they're looking for another set of words, and they're looking for another guru, and they're looking for another group. And they're using the same process that David Bohm calls sustained incoherence. They're using this faulty process of thought to look without, as you say, to try and change things on the outside. You know, people are, Guy Finley says, everybody wants to change what they're looking at, and nobody wants to change the looker. So this process helps that happen. This process helps me remove what's inside of me that's actually creating the pictures I'm looking at, rather than trying to change the pictures. So it's a blessing. I'm happy to be here. I feel privileged to have two groups and to have the kinds of in-depth process in those groups that I get practically every Tuesday and Thursday, and I think it's exciting.
Absolutely. So exciting, it's beyond comprehension. And I'd like to bounce off of that thought, Tim, that you were saying that Guy offers, and that is everybody wants to change what they're looking at, but nobody wants to change the looker. And to recognize that the only way to change what we're looking at is to change the content of the looker's mind, because everything that we look at and everything that we feel comes from the content of our minds. We've been taught by the world that we're looking out there, and nobody's ever looked out there. You know, the eye is a one-way valve. It brings information in, and it's very tricky because the pictures our minds can generate, the constructs of perception, are really good at convincing us, no, I'm really looking out there, and the problem really is out there. And, of course, one of the tongue-in-cheek lines I like to deliver is, if they're the one with the problem, why are you the one with the pain? Maybe it's time for us to start to admit when we're in pain that the pain's about our content, and our content produces perception. And our perception is not of external events. Our perception is of internal events. And when we recognize that and we correct perception, because perception has a quality, and we correct it and bring it into harmony with truth, then our perception gives us accurate information about what's out there. How many people have ever had somebody say to you, you know, you made me so mad by what you said, and you say to them, well, what did I say that made you mad? Oh, you said, and you go, those words have never passed my lips. That thought has never crossed my mind. I couldn't have said that. And they will swear till the cows come home that you said that, because they actually heard the words come out of your mouth. But few people recognize that the mouth is speaking the words is an image in my mind, and the words I hear are coming from my brain cells. And you'll notice the person who accused you of doing what you didn't do, of saying what you didn't say, you'll notice 100% of the time they were in some form of hostility or fear. Now, once you get that principle, it's easy to recognize, when they're in hostility or fear, their mind's lying to them. That's it. I understand now. But then making the leap to, when my mind is in hostility or fear, my mind's lying to me. Now that is a huge leap to make, because we believe what we think we're seeing out there. So it's a really deep process of building some new brain cells and starting to see differently. And when I think about, God, how are we going to get 7.5 billion people to understand this? I mean, you look at the crew that worked with Yeshua. You know, there were 12 men that worked with him full time for 3 years. And when the stress was up and the chips were down, 11 of them left. They ran away, denied him, didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't understand. They could not be the space or hold the space.
Michael?
But then he gives me hope. Just be one second. One thought I want to finish out here. He gives me hope when he says, a little leavening leavens the whole loaf. And what he's talking about there is, as a physicist, he's talking about critical mass in physics. And when I can see this, the time when enough people will have that understanding that we will literally create an energetic field that will permeate the whole planet, then is when 7.5 billion people will wake up. So to me, that's what I'm working toward, is providing the space, and of course many others are working toward it too in many ways, but providing the space where that level of comprehension occurs, and there'll be a planetary shift in the way people's minds operate. And so that's what we're heading for. And Michelle, you called my name.
Yeah, I follow you very carefully, and the way you just weave the concepts, and then it's like a train, and it keeps going, and then I try to look for a natural break where, and then, you know, like, so that's where I try to intervene, because we've got a bunch of hands up, and I'd love to hear you support some people today with their
right,
personal. All right, area code, this is 616 first. Area code 616.
616, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Well,
616 must have turned away from their phones for a moment.
Sounds like it. All right. This is area code 212.
Hello.
Hey, welcome. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Thank you. My name is Stephen, and I'm calling from New York.
Welcome. Glad to hear your voice, Stephen. How can we support you today?
Well, I'm the owner of Sammy's Kosher Restaurant, and I've been in business for the past 5 years. Business has been thriving, but
right.
for the past 5 years, I've actually been using all unkosher ingredients, pork, shellfish, and I just feel horrible about that, and I'm not sure exactly what to do.
Well, I guess the first step would be to correct the error and come into harmony with the truth. Either use the actual ingredients you're proclaiming, or stop calling yourself a kosher restaurant. I guess that would be the first step.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead and...
Well, the next step would be to choose to move into the reasons why those unconscious dynamics of that level of dishonesty would happen, and start to do some work, some forgiveness work. You know, moving forward in your world isn't going to help to carry this load of guilt.
Well, I don't feel that guilty. I mean, it's quite a savings in money, and I'm able to mark up the food quite substantially, so it doesn't really pay for me to use kosher products, and no one really knows that I'm using unkosher products. I mean, it's mostly very religious Jews come and eat there, and they can't tell the difference. Hello?
So I'm not sure what your question is. I'm not sure what your question is then. My first suggestion would be get into integrity and spend the money it takes to do kosher food, or stop offering or saying that you're offering kosher food would be the first place. And then the next step is, how do you handle the internal dynamic of your dishonesty?
Is it being dishonest, though?
I don't know what else I'd call it. I'm offering kosher food, folks. Here it is. Come pay for it. And I'll make great profits because I'll dishonestly serve you unkosher food. I don't know whether the word would apply there.
I mean, it's more exposing people to different types of cuisine. Is that?
No, that's pure. I mean, my offering to you would be that's pure dishonesty. Come on, let's be serious here.
Now, what'll happen?
Saying that I'm offering someone who says I don't choose to eat animals that are filled with parasites that can kill me, and telling them that I'm offering them cuisine and using that as a rationalization sounds pretty outrageous to me.
But, I mean, lobster won't kill you.
Well, I was talking about, in that case, the pork that you're talking about. There's a scriptural pro. It's killed a lot of people. If you look at swine flu down the years, it's killed a lot of people on the planet, like millions.
But, I mean, the pork.
You can't really say that.
The pork I'm using is farm raised. It's beautiful bacon. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The pork cheeks. It's beautiful. The pork butt.
Okay. Well, I don't know what you want from me. How I can support you then?
to say it's okay.
I have no. To me, my input would be it's total, complete fraud and dishonesty. And if you you've just exposed yourself nationally with this, and maybe you're not Sammy's at all. I don't know, but it sounds like you're not really looking for support. In you're looking for maybe dishonestly exposing Sammy's. I don't know. I don't know where to go with this.
Sir, my name is Moshe Goldberg, and I'm the prank rabbi. You've been pranked. You're on my prank.
Well, have a great day then. Have a great day. Have a blessed one. Bye-bye. Okay, well, not sure what that's all about, how that fits in, but we'll have a laugh about it, and we'll move on to the next caller. Do you have anybody else with a hand up, Michelle?
Let's try 616 again. Nope, yeah. Doesn't sound like that.
Hello, 616, you're on.
You know, it sounded like there was some background noise or something. Let's see. I think this is 808, and hi, Roma.
Hi. Wow.
Hey there, young lady.
Well, how are you? What a strange conversation that was. God, I just tuned in on the end of that, and I thought, what? So it's not surprising to hear it was a prank, but, geez,
yep.
Holy cow.
We'll wish him blessings.
Yeah, really. Well, oh, my gosh. My
so how can we support you today? What's on your mind?
Well, I ended up doing a worksheet at 3 o'clock in the morning last night, and it was extremely intense. I had watched something that someone sent me on the CIA and on Facebook, and I certainly not going to pass that along. Holy cow, because it literally had murders in it.
So how can we support you today?
It was horrible. Okay, so anyway, I did a worksheet, and in the beginning I was experiencing deep, deep fear, terror, revulsion, pain. And by the time I got to the end, I was, let's see what I put, much better. Great opportunity for healing. I was feeling, I was feeling clear. I was feeling clear. And that, I think, is the most extreme experience I've ever had with any worksheet in all the time I've been doing them. But when I got to the number 7 and it said, I'm grateful for the opportunity to heal and choose truth and perfect love, I looked at that word perfect love and I thought, I don't have any idea what that actually is. Basically I'm
let's
saying
talk about
to
it.
My Yeah, that's what I that's why I called. Yeah. I mean, I know that for one thing, in the last 3 months, there's been such a major transformation because of the work that I've been doing that I I walk around now and it's really as a presence of love, and it's really easy to love the doctor's receptionist, you know, simple things like that. But I just wanted to get your feedback on what is the experience of perfect love?
Well, let's start out and define love, and that is hold a newborn child,
mm-hmm.
and you have the experience of love. Have you ever held a newborn?
No, but I've been a newborn and I remember it. And I was a perfect expression of love.
Okay. So mm-hmm. then looking at your words, I was a perfect expression of love. Then if someone were holding you, experiencing you as the perfect expression of love,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't be loving them, but rather you would be love.
Right.
Would that be accurate to say? Okay. So then... Yeah. I'm not aiming, you know, if I don't have proper targets for my mind, I can't hit the goal.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm aiming to love people, then I'm off the mark. I'm off base.
Right.
Because
right.
love isn't a verb. It's a noun. It's a state of being. My aim is to be the presence of love
right.
everywhere I go with everything that I do. And then what Yeshua talked about in the expression there, perfect love, goes back to the first century Aramaic, where Yeshua says, perfect love casts out fear. Mm-hmm. In the Aramaic, there is an understanding that there's a filter in the frontal lobes of the brain that's called rachma, and there's a filter over the perceptual part of the brain, the back of the brain, called kubo. And in Aramaic, those two filters, when set together, were called perfect love. And you recall they said perfect love casts out fear. So I'm looking to maintain as a permanent condition in my mind rachma and kubo, which allows the presence of my being to enter my form, so I incarnate as the presence of love. And if both filters, perfect love, are set, then no matter what I'm looking at, my mind can't produce a fear-based reality. So if
right.
I'm sitting watching a video and I'm in terror and trauma, I don't have those filters set. I want to reset them. And, you know, ultimately one of the practices of work is get to the point where conscious, active, present love is in your form at all times, and those two filters are set. And if that happens and something resonates, terror, fear, rage, guilt, grief, drama, or trauma, then by contact with those active filters and the presence of being or the presence of love in you, those things will begin to dissolve rather
well,
than be
what things will
in
begin
your
to
mind.
Dissolve? I'm sorry, what
the
things will begin
fear,
to
the hostility,
oh, yeah, yeah.
the fear, the rage, the guilt, the grief, the drama, the trauma. You're literally, your capacity to produce those things will be gone.
Right. Now, remind me what kuba is. Rachma's the feminine healing presence, similar
no,
to...
No,
well,
no.
What?
No, go off just okay. a little bit. If you look at the bottom of the worksheet, you'll see the definitions. Ruka Dukusha...
Okay.
It's all on the bottom of the
feminine
word.
Feminine elemental force in humans
okay.
that breaks
well,
off the effect
take,
of error
take,
and certain
yeah.
reaches truth. Yeah.
And what is that? What is that called? You're reading it off the sheet, I take it?
Yeah, that's Ruka Dukusha.
That's Ruka Dukusha.
Right.
Rachma, kuba are
yeah.
something different.
Kuba, I know. That's why I'm asking you, what is kuba? I remember the word because we used it before, but I can't remember what it actually is. And there's no definition
okay.
of kuba here. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So rachma is a filter over the frontal lobes of the brain.
You said that before.
That is the gate. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Roma, I need for you
yeah.
to let go of your mind for a minute and hear me. Let me complete the thought, okay?
I'm sorry, Michael.
Yeah. So rachma is a filter over the frontal lobes of the brain that allows human life to enter human form, and is a filter that blocks intentions keyed to hostility or fear, negative or destructive intentions. Kuba is the corresponding filter over perceptions. When active, it allows awareness of our human lives to be in our perceptual world, and it blocks perceptions-based in hostility and fear, which are perceptions that are threatening or irritating.
Right.
If those two filters are maintained continuously, then if something in the world of intentions, the frontal lobes of the brain based in hostility or fear is resonated, if something in the back of the brain, in the perceptual mind, is resonated with those two filters active, simply those energies having contact with rachma and kuba will transform them and bring healing.
Right. Good.
So that's where we want to head. And then
right.
Ruka, where Ruka comes in is, when I'm having difficulty doing that, I'm asking the helper to assist me and support me in it. So that would be Ruka Dukusha. That's the feminine elemental force that, when invited into activity, undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth.
Okay. I think
so when
I
I'm
had...
available to it, she'll teach me.
What did you say?
When I'm available to her, that's when she'll teach me. If my mind is always running and I can't slow it down, there won't be room for her guidance or teaching to come in.
Okay. All right. I was confused between Ruka and Rachma.
That's okay. That's cool. Clarifying the brain cells once again. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're here to do.
Good. Okay. So there's actually the three things that we're actually dealing with. We're dealing with Rachma and Kuba and Ruka. Right?
And of course, we're dealing with first century Aramaic forgiveness and responsibility communication and all of
right.
those things. Yes.
Right. Okay. And I'm aware, I'm thinking as we're going through this, that maybe my reading the words perfect love, maybe my linear mind thinks that it doesn't understand it, but maybe I need to use a different part of my psyche to understand perfect love.
Well, you've got new brain cells for it now, and you can recognize that it's coming from, and it's a reflection. It actually comes from that statement where it says perfect love casts out fear, and it's those two filters set that creates the condition of perfect love and disables the mind's ability to produce fear-based realities. So you've got new brain cells now. That's the whole idea. You can't use it unless you have the brain cells. You know, Yeshua says you got to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And he wasn't talking about physical eyes and ears. He was talking about you've got to have the brain cells to comprehend what's being said.
Right. So experientially, it could be what I'm used to calling divine love, perfect love.
It could be. I don't know. You'd have to determine that.
Well, I'm kind of arriving at that since it was my question. There's a part of me that's giving me that answer. So, good. All right. Well, that was my question.
Yeah. Huh? You helped everybody build some new brain cells today. That's awesome. We're reinforced some old ones.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
All right. Delighted, honored.
How's the course going?
Hope all is well in Hawaii.
Well, you know, we have a storm approaching. There were two that were twins. One of them has passed beyond and dissolved. But they were making jokes about it looking like an owl coming at us. And the other one is still coming. It's due to hit on Saturday and Sunday. But they usually bypass. They usually bypass us. We don't usually get them directly. But I went out yesterday and cleared everything on my lanai because, yesterday morning when I woke up, part of the siding on the elevator tower had gone over the three stories of the building and landed in my backyard. So I think I felt a little vulnerable. Yeah.
That's pretty intense winds. Well, we'll hold a space of safety.
What is the space of safety? What is your question?
We'll hold the space. No question.
Oh, yes.
I was stating
yes.
that as a community, we'll hold the space of safety for Hawaii.
Yes, yes, thank you. And by the way, in the phone, I don't know whether you heard about it in the phone call yesterday, but Julie called in and said that her aunt, who was on her deathbed, woke up. And, you know, she asked us to support her aunt and her process and pray. And her aunt woke up the next day, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and feeling much better. And the doctors were, you know, they didn't know what to think. I thought that was totally awesome.
Nothing like the active presence of love.
Absolutely. Okay. All right. We'll keep on keeping on.
It's in the plan. Have a blessed one.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Michael?
You've got me. Our call-in number, once again, for anybody who might be in the chat room or listening on a station we don't have contact with, our call-in number is 516-418-5786.
All right. Here we have area code 212.
Hello.
Hey. How are you today, jokester?
I'm doing well. It's not a jokester.
Okay.
What happened?
What's on your mind? How can we support you?
I'm an advertising executive, and I've set up hidden cameras in the women's bathroom, and been streaming it online.
We'll let this conversation go. Okay. Well, you have a good day. Bye bye.
Wow.
I guess we make note of that number, Michelle, and let's make sure we don't. Block it through again.
There
we have other things on our mind. Pardon me?
Okay.
I wasn't sure if that was the same number, but maybe it was. I'm...
Well, if there are two numbers, let's make note of them, and we'll watch for 212. So.
Okay.
I don't know
that's
why somebody's wasting their time.
That's
on.
New York, you know.
Yep, we know. We got it.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so anybody else with a hand up? Anything happening in the phone queue?
No, chat room's quiet, but people listening and no one with a hand up right now.
Well, things are rocking along here at Heartland. We are in, I don't know, I've lost track of the days. I guess day three or day four of Laws of Living. And last night we finished class about 9 o'clock in the evening. Julie did a worksheet session with folks the night before when I took Jeannie to the airport in Springfield, and people couldn't stop laughing at her her humorous, impactful, practical presentation on the worksheet. She had gone out and bought a toy Hummer and drove it across the board to represent the driver, that a goal is a driver for perception. And she had sponges that she dropped water or sprayed water into. Each time somebody had an issue, we'll put a little more water and notice how your sponge gets heavier, and sooner or later you got to wring it out. So she did a lot of, you know, very practical. Being a kindergarten school teacher, she did a lot of very practical work with everybody the night before last, and it sounds like it was pretty cool and made the point for everybody of how this forgiveness process works on a new level. So that's pretty awesome. And our calling number is, oops, I have to look it up. I don't have it. I almost started to say 646, but that's not our calling number. Our calling number is 516-418-5786. Going to have to get used to that one. Need to memorize a new dial-in code, but anyway.
All right. This is a Skype call, Michael, so I'm going to open it up and we'll see what happens, okay?
Go for it. Skype caller, you're on the air. Give us a name. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Damien. I'm calling from Detroit.
Hey, Damien. How can we support you?
How
What's
you?
On your mind today?
So basically, I'm really uncomfortable with what my father does for a living.
Uh-huh. So my thing would be to ask you, what's the discomfort made of? Is it fear that's coming up for you? Is it hostility that's coming up for you? What's going on?
Actually, Michael, it dropped off, so I'm not sure what happened.
Yeah.
So we'll get that back.
I think we're doing it again. I think we got somebody who's decided to play with our new number and not sure how they go on.
Well, that's what my intuition said. Stop it. And then we'll see what happens. So I stopped it before the voice sounded the same to me.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Okay. Cool. Well, Tim, anything else exciting happening in your world?
Well, I was just going to say the pattern is that when you get a new number on Blog Talk, there are some people whose computer programs set them up to do these prank calls. So we will weather the storm well if we just pay attention to the fact that we don't have our 5.5-year history behind us. We're starting fresh, and we'll send love to everybody who calls like that, and eventually they'll either quit calling or call with an actual question. So I was...
The Skype caller is there now with their hand up, so I'm not sure what you'd like to do, if I shall ignore it. Or
yeah, I'd let it go if I were you, Michelle. And I was just going to say, I got pulled away from the call for a while Roma was on. I heard her say that she was calling about Julie's testimonial, but did Roma tell you about her getting her voice back, her singing voice back? Michael?
No, go ahead. Tell us about it.
Well, I was just saying that yesterday we had two wonderful calls of people giving testimonials, and Roma was doing a holotropic breath session, and as a combination of all the work she's been doing for the past weeks and her willingness and honesty here and the work she's been doing and the clarification she's gotten from you, then when she laid down to do a holotropic breath session, she actually had deep sounds coming and she feels as though she has her singing voice back. So she was thrilled. So we had testimonials yesterday from Roma and from Julie about the benefits of the work. And we had somebody in the support group last night who mentioned the fact that she'd been having increasing knee pain and growing over the past few weeks. And last week when she was in the session and she in the group and she did some work, she felt the knee pain disappear and she got up and walked away without the pain. So just highlighting some of the testimonials that people have had about removing what's less than love leaves us in an entirely different space physically as well as mentally and emotionally.
We have a caller now. It's area code 910. 910, hi.
Hi. My name is Kate. I'm in Susan's Laws of Living class here in Wilmington, North Carolina.
Well, you're blessed then.
Yeah, see? I'm calling because no matter how many worksheets I do, it always comes back to good old mom and dad. And I'm thinking, how can, like, I'd personally now like to give them a break and not have it go back to mom and dad. But it seems like my pain comes from my parents and their disapproval or whatever. And it's just getting so old, I'm getting tired of it. So I'm wondering, is there another way to get past the pain of being their child?
Well, how long have you been working with the tools?
A few weeks.
Okay. So let's see. And tell me, if you don't mind, how many times have you traveled around the sun now?
I don't know what that means.
How many years have you been in your body?
Oh, 70.
70. So,
yes.
So for 69 and a half years, you've been carrying trauma around mom and dad, unresolved, and you figure within 2 or 3, 4 weeks, you should be finished with it. My offering would be, you're not going to be finished with it that quickly. It's a process. It's going to take time. Yes, it would be nice to be finished with everything yesterday. But, you know, I'll bet if you went back and had a conversation, and I assume your parents perhaps are not in their bodies now. Are they still around?
No.
Physically? No. Okay, so you can't really have a direct conversation. But here's what I'd just about guarantee, that if you were to be able to have a conversation with them and maybe remember some conversations with them about what kind of issues they had with their parents, if you knew your grandparents and had conversations with them, I'll bet you the parallels would be precise and exact.
Okay.
Because these dynamics tend to be generational. You perhaps are the first person in, who knows, 1,000 generations that's been waking up from the sleep of unconsciousness that just passes these dynamics from generation to generation and said, I'm going to deal with this. You know, when they said to Yeshua, and I can imagine it might have been said with some frustration, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? Is 7 enough? And in Aramaic, his answer was, no, he said 77 times 70.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not a literal number. I think we can rest assured the disciples weren't standing there as fishermen multiplying out 77, 77 is 49, carry them. I'm sure they weren't doing that. But what he was saying is, you were going to do, seeing as how you're the first one in your bloodline who's taken a hold of this bear, and you're going to wrestle the bear to the ground, it's going to take some time. You're not going to be finished with it overnight. It's a process. And so I suggest that you might do some worksheets on patience and the patience to let yourself work through these layers that everybody sooner or later needs to work through.
Yes.
And, of course, there are a whole range of tools in Laws of Living, and then there are tools beyond Laws of Living in this work, from anything from the still point breathing process to the codependence work to the commitment. So, you know, there are a whole series of tools. And are you in the current class that she's
yes.
teaching, or have you completed Laws of, so you started to take Laws of Living with her then, what, 3-4 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna encounter. Go ahead.
I was going to say I've been in therapy. I've talked about it. I've gone to a million 12-step programs. I've, you know, not a million, but you know, all my life trying to get over the sadness. And it doesn't, you know, when I compare my story to anybody else's, mine is nothing. And yet, the sadness is still here.
Right.
So I've worked all my life, all my sober life, to try and, you know, clear away the wreckage. So
right.
I'm wondering if that counts towards the few courses I took. Does that add to, like, you know, I mean, in other words, I'm brand new to this, but I've been working on it for decades.
Well, of course, the key would be how effective have the tools that you've been using for decades. I know that we have a lot of people who come into the work. In fact, Wednesday is Recovery Wednesday, who come in from different 12-step programs and discover another level of effective tools that they had never seen before. And if I work with tools that move me but don't move me all the way through it, and then I find the tools that can move me all the way through it, then I'm going to have to engage in that new set of tools, not as an extension of what I did before, but as a new set of tools. And you're going to find that, you know, if you came from a 12-step background, then probably you came from a background where you were told that you were supposed to forgive your parents.
Right.
And you're coming into a whole new set of tools, because we're going to tell you, please don't ever forgive your parents for anything. But we're going to tell you to keep chipping away and forgive the sadness that you have within you, the hurt that you have within you, the pain that you have within you. So that's a new project for you, 4 weeks old. And after 70 years of carrying around that baggage, I'll just invite you to be patient with yourself and use the tools, and you'll find, you know, let's see, I think it was probably the show from Tuesday, I believe, where Julie, a lady from Pahrump, Nevada, has been doing this work for less than a year now, called in and shared the major shift that she got basically overnight in just one more piece of work that she did. And let me just see here. I'm going to read from you or to you her text to me. She shared what was shifting for her, and then she sent me back one and said, "Forgot one thing. I'm learning it does not have to be my drama anymore, that it's joy. And yes, I know that there's more work to do." So what you're aiming to do is to experience yourself without the shadows of the family dynamics. And
okay.
That just doesn't happen overnight when you acquire a new set of tools for doing that. But stick with it, and you'll find that there'll come a point where you'll just break through that, and it will be monumental.
Well, thank you. And blessings to you and Jeannie.
All right. Delighted.
Bye.
Give Susan a hug for us.
Okay.
All right. Okay, blessings. Take care.
Okay.
All right, so our calling
you.
Number is 516-418-5786. Go ahead, Michelle.
312-310.
310, hello.
Hi there.
Hello.
Who do we have on the line?
This is Jerry calling from California. How are you today?
We're good. How are you, Jerry? How can we support you?
Well, I have difficulty with what my son is doing. for a living. He's 21 years.
Boy, we're really. Don't people have anything else to do but sit around and try to scam others?
That was a different area code. I have to say, was it Kate from Wilmington who called?
Yes.
No? Still on there. Very good. Hi, I'm Michelle, and I was going to share that when you first started to speak, that I was glad my microphone was on mute, because I actually laughed out loud when you said that it always comes back to mom and dad, because I'm fairly new to the work myself, and I have a fresh memory of where you're at in terms of the beginning of your process, and the concepts were around honoring your mother and father and what that brings up and what work that needed to be done on that was, everlasting. It seemed to be attached to everything. So I just wanted to share that I really understood how frustrating that part is, no matter what you do, whatever worksheet, whatever topic, whatever situation seems to be being presented, it always seems to come back to that power person dynamic, and it's going to get easier.
And you might find it beneficial to order a copy of the Codependence to Interdependence DVD, or I think Susan's got it. She'd probably loan it to you, and give a listen to that, because that would give another level of insight into the power person dynamic, which is not specifically what the Laws of Living course is about. So you might find that helpful as well.
Thank you. I don't know how to get off the phone, though. I should hang up and let somebody else talk.
Okay. No, Michelle can just mute you, so that'll take care of it. All right, well, we're down to just a couple of minutes, so we got time for one more quick question, if somebody's out there with one.
Hello.
Otherwise, we'll just say thank you to our prankster callers. We'll hold you in the space of love and hope that perhaps you might find something more valuable to do, something more in alignment with your actual purpose in life. As a human being, as the active presence of love, what kind of contribution, I bet in the communities you guys have called in or in, that there are kids who are starving and suffering for attention. There are centers, birthing centers, where there's not an adult to hold a baby. Call them, contact them, go and volunteer. Do something really constructive with your life. Hold a newborn. Experience that sweet presence of love that a newborn is, and provide support. Take some of these kids that need a meal and put your energy into putting together some sandwiches, taking them into to centers that support these kids. And, just invite you to do something that that's really meaningful and makes a contribution to humanity. And, it's good for a laugh, too. So we'll just hold the space that you have an awesome day. And, everybody, we're appreciative of the fact that you're here. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. Well, we've got a few seconds, so I'll just say that it's looking like we might schedule for this winter in Florida a 9-day intuitive development workshop. So if you're interested in that, let me know. And if we have enough interest, we'll probably go ahead and schedule that. We haven't done it in probably 5 or 6 years. So the demand seems to be developing for intuitive development. It's a 9-day residential intensive where we spend 9 days getting intuitive feedback and really honing in and strengthening that spiritual skill. So in the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's a great gift to give the world. Blessings.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.